solutions, 8%. But if you look just here, this is an interesting statement here. It said people who explicitly make resolutions are 10 times more likely to attain their goals than to people who don't explicitly make resolutions. That's interesting. Now, I'm not quite sure how these statistics all tie together. I mean, the one that really caught my attention was this bottom one. And I thought to myself, what's the point? You know, people over 50 achieve their resolutions 14% of the time. Now, as I was sort of looking through this yesterday, I noticed actually that some of these just contradict each other. Because that's 14%, but the total number of people who are successful is only 8. So I'm not quite sure how the data jives together. But anyway, that's what it is. So as we, as you look back on this past year, what stands out in it for you? You know, maybe from a personal point of view or from a spiritual point of view, you know. How is your life? How is your walk with the Lord? How did you grow in your Christian life? You know, looking back, how will that change what you want to do in the year to come? Now, you know, as I look back on past year, there are a number of things, highlights in the year, and some lowlights. I mean, one real highlight was the marriage of Sylvia and Mark. That's a tremendous time. Some of the news events in the world, you know, all the awful things happening in Syria must have been a low light. Thanks, Mark. That's last week's. Okay. Brian was drinking that one. So, but, you know, there are two things that last year that stood out in my mind I just want to comment on. One of them is the Brexit vote in Britain, and the other one is the American presidential election. And let me tell you why. And if you just go to the next slide, which is... next slide. Brexit. Now, maybe this isn't important for many of you, and maybe you don't really know what it was, but Britain held a referendum last June to leave the European Union, the EU. And I was quite shocked with the result, you know, that they actually decided to vote to leave. Now, I went to London. I arrived in London the day before the vote. Nothing to do with that. My mother was sick, and I went over to see her. And, you know, the country is totally divided. And there are the Brexit people, that stands for Britain Exiting Union, the people who wanted to Brexit, you know, they had all these promises, if we leave the Union, we'll have this strong economic future, it'll be wonderful, we'll be independent, we'll be great again as a great Britain. And then, you know, the Remain camp, as they called themselves, the ones that wanted to stay there in Britain, they said, you know, they had all these dire warnings of the economy is going to tank, you know, their pound's going to tumble, it's just going to be awful. And after the referendum, I asked my friends, some friends like Chris and Brenda, some good friends of ours, and they voted to leave. And I said, well, why did you vote to leave? And they said, well, one of the things was all of the lies and fear-mongering that the Remainers were telling us would happen, and we just couldn't believe it. A couple of days after that, I spoke to my sister, and she voted to remain. And I said, well, you know, what do you think about it? She said, you know, all the lies and the fear-mongering of the Brexit people, I just couldn't believe it. And so which side was telling the truth, you know, and who was lying? And what part did lies and half-truths play in the referendum, you know? And they're still debating that now, you know. You come to the U.S. presidential election, you know, Donald and Hillary. A few months later, exactly the same thing, you know. Similar questions were raised. You know, we had issues of fake news items on the internet. You know, these things were happening to Donald Trump. And, you know, were they true or not? And Hillary Clinton, was this true or was this just a lie? And, you know, it was just, it's terrible. And, you know, at one time, in the earlier days of the internet, we thought that the internet will give everybody greater access to the truth. And really what we're finding is the opposite's happening. It's hard to know what to believe, you know. And there was a, We found that people use an expression called post-truth. I don't know if you've heard of that expression, post-truth. It was the Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year in 2016. And that's on the next slide, I think. Oh, next slide after this one. There we go. Word of the Year, post-truth. And what post-truth is, it's defined as where objective facts are less influential in changing public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal beliefs. In other words, feelings are more important than facts. And that seemed to be last year. Now, where am I going with all this? Well, in September, I joined a Bible study class called BSF, and we meet every Tuesday night, and this year we're going through the book of John. And one of the key words in the book of John is truth. You know, truth. If you could just go to the next slide. In chapter 1, we read this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And a couple of verses later it says, grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. And it seemed to me that this was very timely. It's certainly timely for me. Because there has to be something that is more real than just feelings in life. There has to be an absolute truth. And it seemed very current, very relevant to our current events. And in a world that doesn't seem to care about objective truth, John says that Jesus Christ is full of truth, grace and truth. And, you know, he wrote this years later in his life. And as he looks back and he remembers Jesus Christ and his character, he says he was full of grace and truth. And I'd like us to look at a few verses here in John. I can just go back to the previous one. There we go. I just want to look at a few of these verses in John that talk about truth. And see how they can help us as we go into the new year. Now, when we say he is full of grace and truth, I mean, what is that truth? And it's huge. But some of the things, it's spiritual truth. It's truth about God. It's truth about who he is and that is revealed in Jesus Christ. You know, it's a truth about us and our sin and the consequences of our sin. The truth about God's plan of salvation. It's truth about a real assessment of life, putting life in its right perspective. And it's balanced with grace. And God is a gracious God. And for me, and I'm sure for you as well, that this knowledge is a good foundation for us to go forward in the new year. So if we go to the next slide. We came to John chapter 8 in November, just after the US election, presidential election. And Jesus here says, you know, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. In the context here, Jesus is in dialogue with the Jewish people, and he's been telling them, I am the Son of God. And they've been disputing his claim. And they've been saying, you know, how do we know that it's true? But he says here, you know, if you hold my teaching, if you abide in my word, as it says in some translations, then you become my disciples. You are my disciples. And you will know truth, and the truth will set you free. What does this mean? You know, what is this truth? Well, you know, the truth, if we repent from our ways and believe on him in faith, if we read his word and as it's revealed to us, as we apply it to our lives, that's holding on to his teaching, then we'll begin to live in God's truth and by his power. And the truth, it says, will set you free. We're free from condemnation. We're free from the bondage of sin. Sin can just have such a bondage, a hold on us. And he promises that that truth will set us free. And as I go into 2017, That is a something I want to know. I want something I can rely on. And his truth is something we can rely on. You know, further down in this chapter 8, and we have it here in verse 44, Jesus talks about Satan, the devil. And he calls him, it says that there is no truth in him. He is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And what a contrast this is to Jesus Christ. He is, there's no truth in him. And you know, this knowledge can help us in this coming year, you know, when we face temptation. Because what we find, you know, sin is a very deceitful thing. And it promises a certain enjoyment, but it never really can deliver on it. It makes things that are wrong seem attractive, but it never tells you the consequences of those things. And when we are being tempted, the devil is trying to deceive us. He is a liar. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about deceitful lusts. And they are not the truth. And Satan is a liar and the father of lies. That's something that's useful for us to remember as we go into the next year. Because the next one was, in Ephesians it also talks about some of the truth will protect us from Satan. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. God's truth is part of the armor that protects us from the devil's schemes. Let's go to the next verse, and this is going back to John, thinking a little more about truth here. He says in John 16 that when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And we need help as we make our way through the new year. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we will be making many decisions in this next year. Some of them big decisions, but certainly we'll all be making many small decisions. And those small decisions can be very important. How do I react when somebody offends me? How do I decide to spend my free evening? How do I decide on this or that? And God promises us that his Spirit of truth, who indwells us, will guide us in truth. If we go to the next slide, a little further in John, the next chapter, we are told that as Jesus is praying, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. If I want to serve God in 2017, if I want to be useful in his service, I need to be sanctified. I need to be clean. I need to be cleansed, set apart for him. And Jesus, in his words here, tells us that we can be sanctified by God's word. God's word is truth. If you just go to the next slide. How can a young man stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. And so, one thing that we can do this year is to resolve, to discipline ourselves, to know God's word, to read it, to understand it. That will help us to be set apart and to be pure and clean for him. The next verse in John, if we go to the next slide, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as we go into this new year, it's it's good just to remind ourselves that he is the only truth. You know, there aren't many ways to God. There aren't many ways to live, and the Christian way is one of those ways. He is the only way to the Father. Now, those are just some of the verses in John that speak about truth. And as we come into this new year, well, in that first slide that we talked about resolutions, it said that people who make resolutions are 10 times more likely to attain their goals than people who don't make them. And I'm not big on New Year's resolutions myself, but I do think it is good to make goals for yourself, and I certainly will be for myself in my Christian life. You know, I read God's word consistently. I've put a few down here for myself, and maybe you can take them for yourself, or one or two of them. I need to read God's word more consistently and to apply it to my life and see how God wants me to live. You know, see what his truth is. I need God to open my eyes so I can see needs in other people and help, and you know, practical things, to be able to show God's love to other people. I need to be more bold to tell other people about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we believe it. We know it's true. We need to share it. I need to share it with others. These are some of my goals, to ask the Holy Spirit to show me in my life what are things that need to change and to give me the power to change them. You know, Wayne Gretzky once said, if you'll miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And I know that's a sports illustration, but there's a certain truth of that in our Christian lives as well. You know, we need to, this year, I need to resolve to be a better servant of the Lord. And as a church, we need to as well. I mean, I'd encourage you to come to our prayer meeting on Wednesday and let's just pray about the future of Parkrest and what the Lord would want us to do and what we need to be doing in our own lives and what needs to be put right and what needs to be done that isn't being done and what needs to be stopped that we are doing. And just seek the Lord's guidance in this next year. Shall we just pray? Father, we just thank you that all truth is in you. And when we see the world and, you know, what do we believe and what we hear. And Lord, we just thank you that all truth is in you. And we can rely on your word. We can rely on your Holy Spirit who guides us. And Lord, we just thank you for watching over us in this past year. And Father, as we go into this new year, we go in with hope. And Lord, we ask for your blessing on us, and if it please you. And Father, we ask for your care over us as well. And so we just commit ourselves to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and Happy New Year.